Bernie Sanders emerged victorious in Saturday's Nevada caucus, taking a commanding lead over the current second-place finisher, Joe Biden. What does it mean for the rest of the field as the campaign moves to South Carolina? For more, we are joined now live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by KCBS political analyst Larry Gersten. Thanks so much for being with us on this Sunday morning.
Good morning.
Do the results from Nevada cement Sanders' status as the front runner?
Oh, sure. Absolutely, at least for now. And we say for now because we have to remind ourselves we're still at the beginning of this thing. Only less than 100 delegates of the 44,000 and change that will be there in July. So, but looking at that and looking at the trends and looking at the coalition that Sanders put together, whites, non-whites, union members, young voters, older voters, you got to be impressed. That's all there is to it. You got to be impressed. And it certainly puts pressure on people, particularly Joe Biden, when considering next Saturday's election in South Carolina.
Do you expect anybody to drop out before Super Tuesday?
It's quite possible. I think South Carolina will be the last gasp, perhaps for people like Amy Klobuchar, maybe even Tom Steyer. Steyer put $1 million into Nevada and got a 4% vote. That's not a good return on investment. We don't know. Steyer could go for a long time, of course, but Klobuchar is very limited. Also, Elizabeth Warren, she's already drawn a loan to keep her campaign floating. So it's possible after Saturday that both of those may go ahead and step out. But remember this. Remember, you know, all you need is a good bump in that state, in South Carolina. All you need is to come in second and third. Or third, and that would probably draw enough money to get these folks into Super Tuesday. But with Super Tuesday, my gosh, we've got 14 states, and some of these states are very high-cost states because they're so big. And so if you're going to have television ads and whatnot, it costs a tremendous amount of money, and that's where it gets so difficult for these candidates that are already barely hanging on.
How important is California? The polling in California had Bernie Sanders in the 30s and everybody else in the teens and lower.
You're right. You're right. Bernie Sanders right now looks very strong in California. But let's remember one thing. About 26% of the state's voters are independents. Independents can vote in the Democratic primary. Independents may be a bit more conservative than the rest of the Democrats. And so when you put all of these together, predicting that Sanders will do as well as he's doing right now may be just a bit of a step too far. He may win this state, but remember, if he does, it's likely to be a good fraction and just a fraction of the state's entire 400-plus delegates. And that's because we have proportional representation here, as we do in all the other states. So anybody who gets 15% in each of these congressional districts is likely to carve out some delegates for themselves. So yes, California is important for Sanders. He may not do as well as some people think simply because of that infusion of the independent voters.
Now, we may be getting way ahead of ourselves on this, but something that's been kind of intriguing to me is the idea of what happens at the convention if Sanders, for example, just choosing him, gets a plurality of the delegates but not a majority. Is it possible that Sanders could enter, or anyone else could enter the convention with more delegates than any other one candidate but still not get the nomination if there's a contested convention?
You're right. It's the dream for some and a nightmare for others. The Democratic rules are you've got to have a majority vote, period. And if you don't have a majority vote, it goes on to a second ballot. Well, we haven't seen a second ballot in a Democratic or Republican nominating convention since 1952. Now, Sanders says, hey, if I have more than everybody else, well, that should be enough. Mind you, 4 years ago, when the situation was opposite, and it was just 8 years ago, and Hillary Clinton, 4 years, excuse me, and Hillary Clinton was the one who had what looked to be like a plurality and not necessarily a majority. Sanders said, no, she's got to go the second vote. So once again, it's whoever is in that position. They take their own needs in mind. But yes, the fact is that we could be going to a contested convention because so many delegates, I should say candidates, are still staying in the race. Now, if enough of them drop out, perhaps we'll see a coalition with a moderate on one side and Sanders on the other. We don't see that yet. But again, it's going to be very, very costly to campaign in the Super Tuesday states.
Do you expect to see pushback from the party establishment if Sanders does continue to close in on that nomination?
There's going to be pushback simply because the moderates in the party don't believe that Sanders could win the election. That's all there is to it. They believe that he's a bridge too far in terms of his values, and that most Americans will not go with him once they hear the two words, Democratic Socialist. And so for that reason, they're hoping it gets to the second ballot, because then you've got 700 what we call superdelegates, people who decline the opportunity to vote in the first round, but tend to be more moderate. So Sanders' charge, his biggest task right now is to win enough votes so that he has a majority going into that first ballot. And you're right, we're talking just a few months ahead of time. But you know what? With each election, each primary, people wonder about this just a little bit more.
All right. Well, we thank you, as always, for taking the time to talk with us and share your expertise. That is KCBS political analyst and San Jose State political science professor emeritus Larry Gersten.